Welcome to the Varsity Blue podcast, audio only edition. I'm Paul, the other part of Varsity Blue, the one that doesn't post. And Tim couldn't make it to Ann Arbor this weekend, so we actually have him on the phone live from beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Are you there, Tim?
Indeed, I am.
And just to set the scene, let's talk about your working environment at this point in time. If you could
Have you on speakerphone while I play Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball on Nintendo 64.
You're always on top of the technology. That's
indeed.
So
yeah, I packed away my Atari 2600. So
you know, sometimes it's time to move on.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things we want to talk to. The first thing, and it's kind of dividing the Michigan fans right now between you know, the hardcore and kind of maybe the young, is the whole Kevin Grady DUI fiasco.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll set the scene here. Essentially, the story is Kevin Grady was pulled over for drunken driving and blew an ungodly .281, which is about half a beer away from the death range on the drinking chart. So fans are pretty up in arms about how drunk he was, and a lot of people have been advocating kicking him off the team even.
Yeah, kind of tops among the advocates would be Drew Sharp, who says it should be at least a 6-game suspension, if not a complete kicking off of the team.
Here's a list of people whose opinions I don't respect at all, and pretty much nobody else does. At the top of the list is definitely Drew Sharp. But, I mean, obviously he's not alone in that opinion, so there might be something to it, but I think that's a little steep either way.
Well, true. Drew Sharp is Drew Sharp, but, you know, a lot of people seem to be echoing his opinion. A lot of people kind of seem disgusted by that, but even just perusing, you know, the message boards, MGO blogs, comments, there's a lot of people who just, you know, and it seems like the amount, the ridiculously high BAC is a big part of that.
Yeah, I think, obviously there are shades of gray with everything, so he was drunk or he was not drunk, because obviously he could have been, you know, just over the limit and probably still capable of driving physically, if not legally. But this, he was pretty near death. They said when he was brought before the judge, he couldn't even muster a sentence to say that he understood the charges, and he pretty much drooled on himself. So I think the degree of drunkenness is one thing that has a lot of people really mad about it.
Now,
and that's what the harsh penalty opinion is hanging their hats on.
So there seems to be two camps. Like the camp that thinks, you know, he was ridiculously drunk. He obviously is basically like a loaded gun out on the road. That is true. And I mean, we don't support drunk driving here at Varsity Blue. And then the other camp seems to be more of the line, well, yeah, he made a horrible choice, but he didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly drunk driving is a little more serious than saying, using the boys will be boys excuse, but this is a guy who obviously did make a mistake, but who was really hurt by it? Of course, you know, somebody could have been hurt by it, but you can't, you know, be basing your idea of a punishment necessarily on what could have happened. What did happen is Kevin Grady has been charged with a driving while intoxicated crime, and those are the facts on which you have to base the potential punishment, I think.
Yeah, and you know, there's been, like, you can't really, you know, punish for what could have happened. I mean, that's not really how American law works.
Exactly. While it is true that he could have caused death, the DUI charge takes that into account. He wasn't charged with, you know, potential to accidentally, you know, commit manslaughter. He was charged with driving under the influence or driving while intoxicated. I'm not sure exactly which one. It's just pretty much a nominal difference. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what's your opinion? What punishment do you think he should get?
Obviously, there's going to be some Barwis-related difficulty for Kevin this summer. But this is a kid, you got to keep in mind, he's never done anything worth punishing for in his career. If you don't count borrowing a fork from me during his redshirt, or during his early enroll year, and us having to go get it.
Yeah,
him.
I remember that. I think we might have been close to that .281, but at the time, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. But he hasn't done anything worth punishing before. This is essentially a first offense. You don't kick a kid off a team for getting a DUI if it's the first thing he does.
Even if it's maybe almost a driving while dead, basically.
There are shades of gray in everything, but this is, you aren't going to punish him for how drunk he was if the law isn't going to punish him for how drunk he was.
Good point.
In my opinion.
Maybe the level of BAC should just be related to what he has to do for Barwis.
Yeah. It'll be taken into account, maybe not for suspension, but anyway, we'll go back to what I think should be the punishment. Going with the Barwis, probably, I don't know if he'll be forced to sit out practices, maybe even a game, which if he has to sit out the Utah game, that'll be really unfortunate because if you read the Utah preview that I put up a few weeks ago, I think Utah is going to be really vulnerable to the inside run game. They have very undersized defensive tackles, inexperienced defensive ends. I think the inside run is going to be a place where they're really vulnerable, and if Brady is probably the best inside runner. He's a bull back there, so that could end up hurting the team.
Maybe this will help Grady. You know, we all know what Coach Rod called Owen Schmidt when his position, you know, maybe beer truck, you know.
Maybe that's not so appropriate anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to change that to semi or something. So you're thinking maybe one game suspension maybe and just getting his ass kicked all summer?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't actually suspended for any games. Maybe he'll have to sit out parts of fall camp. But this, like, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't a major offense. Like, this isn't Jimmy John's from Alabama stealing coke and getting kicked off the team. You know, guys on college football teams get DUIs all the time, and they're punished. But it's kind of a more internal punishment. Many of them are suspended for a game or two. But that's stuff that happens during the season as well. This offense happened in the summer where there are no team activities going on, not even near Ann Arbor. It happened over here in Grand Rapids, so I don't know.
And it is worth noting that Grady is 21, so
He might even be 22, yeah, but yeah, he's legal to drink. So I know, and a friend of a friend of mine had actually been planning to go out with him that night. I don't know if he actually did because I haven't spoken to the person since. I'm going to be honest, the plan that night was, let's go out and get drunk. So it's not, regardless of whether drunk driving was a huge mistake or whatever, you know, he didn't have the best judgment in plans for the night in the first place.
Yeah, you think, and if you're from the west side of the state, Grand Rapids especially, you know who Mr. Grady is, and
yeah.
you would assume he had enough money to pay for a cab or even pay for a friend to drive him home.
People, a lot of fans were worried about the Yukon Denali that Kevin was driving when he was pulled over.
I'm surprised it was only a Denali.
Yeah, Mr. Grady's loaded. He got in trouble with the MHSAA a few years ago for buying houses for recruits to come play for East Grand Rapids. So that issue certainly is something that fans need to worry about.
No flashbacks to Chris Webber or Trailer. So what about the argument the press writer brought up about Rich Rodriguez needing to make an example or, you know, come down hard on the first offense under his watch just to, you know, silence the critics or show the team or one of those kind of arguments?
Yeah, I see the argument that, you know, Rodriguez obviously doesn't have a lot of stellar things on his resume that along the lines of Chris Henry and Adam Jones being former Mountaineers under
now, but when they were,
but I don't think he needs to go out of his way to show that that's not him anymore. I think a consistent approach, no matter what, is more in line with his visions of what a team is and punishment and all that.
No, but even with Adam Jones and Chris Henry, how much trouble did they actually get while in West Virginia? Like, I think people assume
didn't avoid trouble. I know I forget which one. At least one of them got in a fight outside of a bar once, at least. I believe they both got in at least a little bit of trouble while they were at West Virginia.
So what I get from your response is you're more in the, you know, more rehabilitation than retribution
exactly
approach towards Grady.
Yeah, like I agree. Like there should be, you know, avoided again, and the punitive measures shouldn't be kick the kid off the team. They should be make the kid work his ass off and prove that he wants to be on the team.
The Adrian Arrington approach.
Exactly. In Adrian Arrington's offense, a lot of people forget this. He was tried for domestic violence. The charges were eventually dropped.
The details.
The more scary part of that was that he was apparently drunk and driving, and obviously he wasn't kicked off the team.
Yeah.
That offense under Lloyd Carr, a saint now in many Michigan fans' eyes, he was not so much when he wasn't beating Ohio State the last 4 years.
And that's the thing. You'd think if, like, with Coach Carr, with Adrian Arrington, it was like he was a father figure, you know, putting the kid on the straight and narrow, giving him another chance. With Rodriguez, do you think he'll get spun another way? Like, he has no discipline. He, you know, let anything go, will go to any lengths to win. Like, same actions, just in a different context.
Yeah, I think the Jim Cardi, to a lesser extent, but and mainly Drew Sharp types are always, they're going to find the negative in a story no matter what. If Rodriguez kicked the kid off the team, they'll say, oh, it was his first offense, why is he kicking the kid off the team? If he doesn't kick the kid off the team, he'll say, oh, he blew a .281, why is he still on the team? Obviously, with some so-called journalists, there's not going to be a way that you can win in their eyes, but in the end, it boils down to you do what you believe is right and let the media deal with themselves. I believe it was Fritz Kreisler who once said, if you're winning, you don't need the media, and if they're losing, they can't help you anyway. So it's that sort of thing. Don't worry about the media. If you do what you need to do, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I really think that's what Rich Rod should do. I agree, and I think a one-game suspension at the most, maybe two. So moving on from this Kevin Grady situation, there seems to be some news coming up on the recruiting front.
Yeah. During this week, I believe the visit actually took place on Tuesday. Marcus Thames from the Detroit Tigers has a nephew from Louisville, Mississippi. His name is Denius, I believe it's pronounced. It looks like Dennis. It's pronounced Denius. he came and visited, and he's been really quiet to the press ever since, but the Toledo Blade actually caught up with him in the Tigers' locker room after the game, and he said, I'm not sure which game it was. I think it was Wednesday's game. He said he really enjoyed his visit to Michigan, and actually said that the Wolverines are his new leader in the clubhouse.
Do you think that has more to do with Marcus Thames or Coach Hobson's dogged determination to actually get people out of Mississippi?
Obviously, recruits pick schools for a lot of different reasons. Every recruit is going to say, I liked the coaches. Otherwise, they obviously wouldn't say, hey, I'm going to play for this old man that I think is an asshole. Obviously, they like the coaches. He must have liked the atmosphere, but having an uncle who, they aren't that far apart in age, probably.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how old Marcus Thames is, but they're within 10, at least 15 years of each other. Having somebody whose family around is definitely good to provide that sense of comfort. So I think that's a part of it, but maybe not the biggest part.
Yeah, and a little less than a month ago, there was a rumor that Thames might be a package deal with Clayton Moore.
Yeah, they're high school teammates. I think that a lot of times kids want to go to school with their friends. In the end, they realize what's best for them. Package deals rarely work out. Obviously, they sometimes do. And then in the case of, like, family with Arthur Brown from last year and Bryce Brown this year going to Miami.
Yeah.
Family that's obviously going to be much more likely to work out. But I think package deals in general aren't as strong as you think. Even with, like, say, Tarik Jones and Will Campbell, and then possibly even Thomas Gordon down the line from Cass Tech, they weren't coming because it was a package deal. They were coming because Michigan was the best place for them. It was close and all sorts of other factors. Maybe it could play a small role that you have a friend there, but it's not going to ever be the only thing for a recruit.
Not all people choose their school like Jeremy Finch does. We'll just throw that out there.
Not all people anything like Jeremy Finch. Jeremy Finch kind of a head case of his own right. So,
do you see any commits coming up in the near future?
There could be one in the near future. There's a lineman from Indianapolis Bishop Chichard High School called Zach Martin. He's visiting this weekend, and he actually said that he would like to decide on a school before his senior season. And he's been to Michigan before. He came for the spring game where he was offered. Mm-hmm. And he's been to Notre Dame a few times in between. He's a Kentucky legacy. His dad was a Wildcat.
Yeah.
And those two schools are also in the top five, but it sounds like Michigan is in good shape. And if he decides soon, especially after taking that second visit, which can be considered like almost a confirmation visit if he does indeed choose Michigan, things definitely look good with Martin.
Yeah, right now I see his top five as Michigan, Virginia, Notre Dame, Kentucky, and Illinois. And
yeah.
You always have to be on the lookout for the Zucker. Just, I don't, if Rodriguez is selling snake oil, I don't know what the Zucker is selling. But,
probably.
Yeah, Michigan does seem to be doing well with him, and really, it looks like it could be a battle between Michigan and Notre Dame at this point.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame is probably probably 1 or 1A, with Michigan being 1B. If he really enjoys his visit this weekend, there's a chance he could commit to Michigan soon. It would definitely be welcomed. He's a pretty athletic, but big. Maybe a future tackle. He could be a guard. Of course, the positions on Rodriguez's scheme are a little less set in stone, so he could play either. But I think things look good with Martin.
So, that's nice. We can always use some more offensive linemen, seeing as we only have 16 on the roster, I believe, right now.
I think they're 15. Rodriguez 15? Likes to carry 16.
Okay. So now probably the biggest point of need in this recruiting class would be defensive ends. And right now I'm looking at the Varsity Blue recruiting board, and there's a lot of people on there, but not in yellow. No commits. Do you think we can be expecting, or is there anyone looking particularly hopeful for us?
There are a couple guys. I wouldn't say that they're, you know, going to commit anytime soon, but Craig Rowe visited a couple weekends ago. He was over here in Grand Rapids for a family reunion, and he swung by Ann Arbor to visit. He likes Michigan a lot. I think they're probably near the top of his list, at least in, say, like a top three or four. There's another guy from out west, Keenan Graham from Las Vegas. I think he's pretty sold on Michigan for now. And then there's another guy visiting this weekend, Will Hill, not to be confused with the New Jersey defensive back who I believe committed to Florida last year.
Yeah.
But he's in this weekend for a visit as well, according to the Free Press. So I don't believe he's been offered, but if the coaches like him and he likes what he sees here, he could be a possibility down the road.
So do you expect defensive end will kind of pan out later on in the year?
And there are enough high-quality defensive ends who are interested in Michigan that one or two of them have to drop. Michigan probably needs get two in this class. I think Rowe's a possibility, Graham's a possibility. There are a couple other guys, Craig Drummond out of Illinois. He likes Michigan. I believe they're in his top five a while ago, but he has some grade issues and he'll have to get qualified before he can take official visits. And then Tank Carradine out of Ohio has other issues as well that he'd like to get resolved before he can commit to a school, but I think Michigan is probably his favorite. So eventually, there will be defensive ends in this class. They may not be the five-star, you know, Devin Kennard out of Arizona that people want, but you aren't going to win all the recruiting battles, and you take what you can get, and you hope that Barwitz can get a three-star guy and coach him into a five-star guy, and then once Michigan wins on the field in 2008, which they will hopefully at least do a little bit, that he'll be able to get the five stars in a couple years.
Yeah, people seem to, and I'm guilty of this. It seems like Rodriguez has been coached forever, just because of how closely I've been following it, you know, ever since the change. But he hasn't coached a game yet. This is still
He has a lot of chance to prove himself before he has to worry about not getting any recruits. Like even people who are committed elsewhere, if Michigan were to go undefeated this year, I'm going to break the suspense right now. They won't.
Yeah.
But if Michigan were to go undefeated right now, he could snake oil his way into all sorts of recruits. That as long as Michigan has a solid year this year, they'll get a top probably 10 to 15 recruiting class, and then I believe the 2010 class will be pretty stellar from that point. Especially since in this class they're still playing catch up with 2008. They're still playing catch up with this class. They started very much in the hole, and I think they'll with a full cycle to go through, they'll be able to have a very good class pretty much every year in the future.
Well, I think that's where we'll end it up, with images of Rich Rodriguez snake-oiling his way into recruits. So we're at about the 20-minute mark, so we're going to wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Let us know which format you like better. We're pretty flexible. We can do either one. So I'm Paul Nelson, and he's Tim. He's the one who writes all the time. The wedding will be over, and we'll be back to regular Varsity Blueing. So I hope you download this, listen to it, and keep listening.
All right, thanks.
Yep, bye.